Hey, Poppy!
What?
Oh, geez, you're always right behind us.
Poppy!
Where? He's right here. Where were you?
Right there.
Right there. Oh, you're right. Oh, I see him. He was right under that thing. I saw the Wolf of Snow Hollow. Did you see the Wolf of Snow Hollow?
I saw the Wolf of Snow Hollow. I projected.
I saw it.
All right, well, this movie was written, directed, and stars
Jim Cummings.
Yeah, he's kind of a one-man show. He also made a movie called Thunder Road in 2018.
Yes, he did.
In both movies, he plays a police officer with a daughter who's having sort of a meltdown after the death of a parent.
Yeah,
Thunder Road, it's his mother. In this movie, it's his father who's played in his final role by Robert Forster.
He speaks about his mother's death in Snow Hollow,
it's
too.
It's slightly different.
His daughter brings up his mother's death in that movie as well. It's basically the difference. There really is no difference,
But you said something very accurate. Write what you know. Alex said that.
I mean, it's basically the same movie, but with
the exact same thing.
but with a werewolf mystery. And here's the thing. It is shot like a horror movie, and it does have horror kills in it. It does have good, scary criminal minds type.
There's some butt cheeks in there. The butt cheeks.
But it's not really a werewolf movie. It's a police procedural. It's a whodunit.
And it's also a comedy.
It is a comedy, but like in the way that... I don't know, like Bobcat Goldthwait or like a mean-spirited Coen Brothers movie. I feel like everything he says is scripted. Every word he says and every and every like whatever thing he does is in the script. It's so detailed in how kooky it's trying to be, but also I do like it. I would say like most metaphorical werewolf movies, the transformation and the idea of becoming a monster is a werewolf mystery and B, a guy with alcoholism. 110%.
Yes.
And I actually think that Jim Cummings is maybe a better writer and director than he is an actor. Whereas I didn't mind him, I could kind of imagine that the movie would have been pretty great with a different actor in that main part. Someone who could have hit those cues a bit more naturally.
I disagree. I thought he was great. I mean, course somebody else better could have made that role better. But I was talking to my brother about Hamilton recently.
You have a brother?
I do. I haven't seen him in quite a while. It was a Zoom thing. He's,
stay at the theater for free.
He's not staying at the theater for free.
Is he staying at the
theater
for
free? No, he's not staying at the theater for free. He's just a rat.
He's not.
Poppy, he's not. Is he though?
No, he hates my bucket.
Does anyone like your bucket?
No, but when I do meet that person,
I rest my
soulmates. I was talking to him about it, and we were talking about Hamilton, and he was like, I love Hamilton, but I honestly think that Lin-Manuel Miranda can't sing. And I'm like, he can rap. And he's like, yeah, he can rap, but he can't sing. And he's like, somebody else should have been Hamilton. And I was like, yeah, but he wrote and started, and it's his idea.
He is Hamilton.
Like, he made the show for him. So the first one he made in the Heights, but like that show was for him, and I feel like it's the same thing.
You make a fair point. I had no
problem. It would be worse if he was worse. I don't think he's bad. I think he's great. I think he's in. Jerk. I think he's like, he oozes. I hate this guy.
Yeah, you really don't like him.
But I do feel bad for him, especially in the end when he's going to house and just trying to give information.
And that's how you write the character, though.
And then at the end, when his daughter, there's a thing in the trailer of Thunder Road that he says goodnight to his daughter and I love you, and she does not say anything back. And that moment is hard. You're like, your daughter isn't even saying I love you. And this movie ends with that. He says I love you to his daughter, and she goes, I love you too. And he cries. And it's a single tear down his face, and it works, and I like it, and I think he's good. I think he's good. I think, like, you need to believe both aspects of that version of himself, and the heart between that, when he's his most aggressive and most vulnerable, is when he's begging his father to just go home, to just stop working, and to let him do this. I do think he's good.
I do think the relationship with him and his father is very good. That's believable. I think he's believable. I don't know if he was... if he can kind of hold the movie. I did like the other Officer Julia Robson, played by Ricky Lindholm.
Ricky Lindholm. Yeah, really funny comedian.
Ricky!
From Garfunkel and Oates. And then also, I think the first time I saw her was Million Dollar Baby. Actually, she's been around a while.
That's an expensive baby.
Yeah. And she's in, that's an expensive baby.
What is that? You sound like a witch.
She was in Knives Out as well, just a little while
what
ago.
What is this?
But,
that is the greatest thing I've ever heard about one of those saddest movies ever.
Kind of investigating, and it kind of, to me, suggested that she was the more, intelligent cop, and I think she is. But I was a little disappointed that she didn't quite get equal play in the story. Because again, I just didn't find the main character to be enough for me.
First of all, the story is about him. And once you realize what the twist at the end of the movie is, it makes much more sense that it is what it is then, because like she's treating it like a real case and a real procedural. She's really trying to do her job. Mm-hmm. He's the one going through a nervous breakdown, turning into a monster. He's the werewolf. She's the hero. And right. That's why she becomes the sheriff at the end of the movie. But that's not like, if it was truly a werewolf movie, I think they should have gotten equal billing. It should have been less about his, you know, problems. But that's not what the movie is. The movie is literally something else.
We as the audience bought into it. And she, that there was a real werewolf.
Yeah, and she gets it before he does just by simple, good, like The Wire, good police. Like she is smarter, and I do think her performance is really good, but like that's not what the movie is, and it doesn't necessarily need it unless we spent more time with the killer, which we don't. And the point we don't is because of the twist at the end of the movie. If we knew the twist earlier.
When they kind of show like the killer with...
Oh, geez. Oh, jeez. When they show the killer. Oh, jeez.
Oh, no. Sorry. I think there was just a really bad delay on the phone there. But
I got
when
five
they
showed cheese,
the potential killer in his RV, you know, living out on his own with the werewolf.
The taxidermist?
The taxi man?
Come on. Sort of the lead up in True Detective scene where they show little snippets of the killer.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. You can't show too much.
They couldn't have done that.
If you show too much, you reveal it. And if you reveal it, you have to explain things. Because honestly, as much as I love the twist at the end of the movie, I started thinking about it. And I was like, I kind of wish I had some of these things explained. But then at the end of the day, that's not what it is. And the question in my mind is, I haven't seen Thunder Road, but it looks like this is the exact same movie as Thunder Road, just with werewolves in it. So my question is the addition of that an interesting way to view the werewolf storytelling structure and the techniques and the look and the vibe of those movies? Did he really need to do it? It's sort of like if I played a Beatles song, but I played it as a hardcore metal song, is it its own thing? Is it the same thing? Did it need to exist? I think Snow Hollow is kind of a cover of Thunder Road, but with an entirely different genre. It's atmospheric. I think because it has a lot of the stylish flourishes and gore that you would want to see.
I love the gore.
Movie.
It's amazing.
There you go, Poppy. I think it earns its horror cred.
That's how I like.
But that's fine. I mean, it's just not that. It's about a guy going through a real hard time. How those things and how selfish you can transform you into a monster. Yeah. How you start to wreck your relationships and everything with your daughter. That like literally the daughter's like, you're scaring me.
Wow.
Because like that's what happens. Your children see you become a monster.
I like that people use the werewolf as that.
Yeah, but we don't understand.
It's a transformation in many different ways.
But we don't understand why the taxidermist picked a werewolf. We don't understand what his deal was, how he pulled it off, how he made the sounds, how he made the suit,
right.
How no one noticed. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's unanswered.
The only thing you can do is make theories about it. And some of those things, like we were talking about earlier, can be easily explained for the dog noises that you heard earlier in the movie. They kind of stopped after a while. It could have been a speaker, or he, like you said, Alex, he could have had a dog whistle and dogs were following this guy in a giant werewolf costume.
Yeah.
Barking at him.
Yeah.
One of those, that's very possible. But the explanation of why he turned it, why he wanted to be a werewolf.
Let's take that out of the equation. Why did he choose the women he chose? Did he know some of them? Like some of that stuff is interesting and might have been more interesting if it was there, I think.
Yeah. And how long was the movie?
It's only like an hour and a half.
So they could have thrown more in there.
But again, that's not what the movie is. The movie is a character study in a package as a horror movie.
Yeah. But dog whistle. What did you do? Was he on stilts or something?
Yeah.
Like, because it's trying to bring in other genres, the mystery genre, the horror genre, werewolf specifically, and character study, but more interest in that aspect, I think the other two suffer. I don't think it's a very strong mystery story in that, you know, like the ultimate culprit, that whole story is not seeded very well. It doesn't really, you know, it, when you find out what's really going on, the audience doesn't have that moment of, oh, that's what that means. It's just,
important. Yeah.
And
he discovers it completely by accident. It's not because of detective work or anything like that. He's just
it is.
I mean, not to give it away, but he's basically in the guy's house before he even realizes there's anything suspicious.
Well, he
I've seen better done in Silence of the Lambs, for instance.
But that's not what this movie is.
First of all, in Silence of the Lambs, you spend more time with that killer. And B...
Yes, that's what I'm saying. But this movie very much does a red herring thing where you spend time with someone who turns out to not be the killer.
That's the whole point.
You don't spend time with him. They don't elaborate on who he is. You see one moment with him with a woman in the cafe. That's it.
But he's talking about the red herring where there's the guy, the drug addict.
No, the red herring. Well, the red herring is sheriff, the sheriff himself. Remember, you and I, as we were watching,
he had the fangs.
He is the red herring throughout the movie more than anything else.
But there was also the other guy, the drug addict, that kept going back.
He does not solve the case.
The red herring in this movie is Jim Cummings' teeth.
Well, not the teeth. It's like literally there's a moment where he drinks, he passes out in the kitchen, and then that night there's an attack.
Yeah, the way they cut.
No, there are cuts in here. Yeah, for sure. The woman, Ricky Lindholm, she solves the case, and he already got the information needed to catch the suspect, which is he attacked a woman, he creeped out a woman in the cafe, and she was like, that dude was really, really super tall. That was a very super tall dude. And then he met this guy and he was talking with him, and then he walks away and he's like, how tall are you, dude? And he's a taxidermist, and he put the two together because Ricky Lindholm put it in his idea. And he says it earlier when he studied the werewolves himself. These were werewolves originally. These were dudes dressing as wolves, killing women because they wanted to kill women. He seeds that brain. He puts that scene in the audience, but it's already in his own head. So he's already thinking of that stuff. And he sees the guy as the taxidermist, and he's like, yeah.
And that was definitely a creepy moment when that guy stands up.
Yeah, it was really weird.
It got me because I was like, well, the moment I saw taxidermist, I was like, this guy's it, and he doesn't notice it. But I was like, yeah, he's hunched over. And just the whole point of Cummings
is
he's
sense to me.
The whole point of that cop at that point is that, like, his daughter is mad at him even when he protected her from a werewolf. Like, she literally was like, I wish I was dead and you didn't save my life. That was crazy. Yeah. He realizes he has a problem, and he's just in his own head. He's just like, I got to return these things. I have to do this one lonely cop job because I can't be the freaking sheriff. And so he's just in his own head. His hunches are what got him there, but it's because of stuff he did earlier. So it's not like he stumbled upon it. It's because the movie just immediately is like, this is your killer. We've never seen him. We've never spent time with him. We have no other hints. He's not a character in the background of the movie. It's like the movie just gives it to us. It gives the legwork for that character, but not for the audience.
I was still satisfied, honestly. It was
kind of a fun little twist. Yeah,
and I loved it when he stood up in the doorway, because the main guy, Mr. Chompers, who had weirdly shaped teeth, and
Jim Cummings.
Yeah, I forgot what his character's name was.
Yeah, me too.
Jimmy.
Mr. Chompers.
Jimmy Chompers asked him to stand up. That was creepy. But then he got into the house. He was chasing him, and he gets stabbed. And the guy's so big, he has so much leverage, even though he's so skinny. So he pulled Mr. Jimmy up onto the wall, like pushed him up onto the wall, and stabbed him in the gut.
Yeah.
And he left it there. And then he escaped. Mr. Jimmy came back. He didn't really recover. He's just bleeding out, and he's still chasing him. And then he catches up, and the guy is putting on his suit.
Yep.
And he's standing there again. He just goes,
on.
Oh, what a day. What a lovely day.
I got you.
Wax off.
I will look for you.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
I will find you.
Are you incapable of restraining yourself, or do you take pride in being an insufferable know-it-all?
And I will kill you.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Somebody peed my pants.
Sad, strange little man.
He's had a change of heart.
A lot of good that'll do him. He's still got the same face.
All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
A fellow chucker, eh?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
I'm very happy about that.
Surely you can't be serious.
What do you want? You want the moon?
You get nothing!
Nothing? Nothing? Nothing, tra-la-la?
I drink your milkshake!
I need the spot.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Wow.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
All right, I'm in.
I just laughed so hard.
I loved it so much.
It was the most cringy thing that could have happened, and I liked it that way.
I put myself in the head of that sheriff, and like, he's got an open wound, like, he's on the ground,
hell,
and he's like,
what's happening?
This is what this was? This is what all of this was?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so freaking weird. I love it. I treat this movie as an experiment, and I think it's a great one. Could have been better, could have been more focused on the
areas. Could have been butter.
Sure, but like, for what this guy did, I like it. It showed an interesting thing. This would make me like this a little bit less if the third movie, it's the exact same story, but like it's a road comedy or something. Like, to stop telling the same story I would be annoyed by that. But I do think that this is a nice experiment that succeeds in a lot of ways.
I just like the blood.
What?
I just like the blood.
You did like the blood.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I on a positive note, also, I was very impressed by the cinematography, especially the outdoor scenery of the mountains.
Yes, dude. And, that intro.
That was just beautifully shot.
That intro where they were laying over upside down images of a snowy forest on top of.
Yeah, it was like Forrest Gump.
Or, it was so cool.
I love the shot where he was standing across from the woman in the truck or the van, and you see like the space between him, and it's just ice on the ground, and there's like a moon above. It's just a great shot. Really, really framed very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, cinematography is great. It's a different cinematographer than Thunder Road. Thunder Road's like really, it's a little bit more low budget, kind of has a bottle rocket feel to it. This one is a lot more clean and a lot more crisp, and it really looks like a horror movie. Like, it isn't just, this is a weird criminal monster of the week thing on TV, and it's about a guy with a drinking problem.
I never thought of it that way, too.
I think he understood that the point of the werewolf is that a man transforms into a monster, and he's like, well, I can do that. I can utilize that in a more symbolic way. And I liked it, because I think it can be done well. I think it's done well in Dog Soldiers, and I think it's done well in Ginger Snaps especially. So I liked this idea here.
It's a good twist, and it's a fresh kind of take.
It understands the werewolf genre without really technically being a werewolf movie, which is fun. I do think that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So good props. Go see it, guys.
Go watch it. Yeah, and
it's
I want to watch it again. That's a good sign.
I would say if you're interested in movies about small-town alcoholic cops falling apart, one of my all-time favorites is called Affliction.
So specific.
It's from 1997, starring Nick Nolte in a just amazing performance of a guy who just falls apart. And he also has daddy issues, but his dad's like a wretched alcoholic played by James Coburn.
Oh, nice.
And it's got your favorite guy, Peter.
My favorite guy.
His brother. And forget it.
Okay. My favorite guy. No, who is he? Who's my favorite guy?
The Green Goblin.
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe plays his brother who comes into town to try to fix things. And it's just,
I love Dafoe.
All right, bye. I'm going to watch it right now.
It's directed by Paul Schrader, who wrote
Schrader.
Taxi Driver and so on.
Wow. Paul Schrader is a very visual filmmaker. People should see his movies. They're beautiful. First Reform
is great, and it's also set in the snow in a small town with an alcoholic cop, but it's legit. Like,
I would
all
say
the way.
That sounds like it would pair very well with Fargo and A Simple Plan.
Ooh.
Yes, I'd say they have a similar aesthetic and kind of tone to them. There's no comedy in Affliction at all, though.
Oh, well, there's no comedy in Simple Plan.
Nick Nolte just falling apart.
Simple Plan's pretty Bad News Bears, too. I would say the closest thing to this movie, though, that there really truly is, we're going to talk about later, with Wolf Cop. I think Wolf Cop is the funny version of Snow Hollow with an actual
woman. That was funny, because when I was watching this movie, I was seeing similarities to Wolf Cop.
Yeah.
But this movie's played it, you know, a bit straighter, but it's still, it was like unfortunate that there were so many comparisons. Being that it's like an independent film, the main character is an alcoholic police officer.
Yeah.
There's a fellow female police officer who's much more on point than he is.
I think Snow Hollow is its own thing, but I do think it's funny that it's basically the same story as his last one, filled with elements of a movie that already exists. I mean, I like Jim Cummings, and I think the script is fun. I think his performance is good, but, you know, sounds like a lot of other stuff that already exists. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's got teeth in this one. He's got chompers.
He's got
chompers. Does have very large teeth. Yeah.
Good teeth acting.
Well, he's got the canines going. And I was kind of convinced.
Yeah, I was surprised that he has not starred in a vampire film.
I think those teeth are fake.
Yeah, we truly
don't know.
I tried looking because we were on different sides. I thought they were real. Alex thought they were fake. Poppy was just in for the blood, right, Poppy?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then he only smiles
with his mouth,
with his lips.
Yeah,
he doesn't smile with his teeth in like real photos of himself.
We've yet to find one.
I really, and when he is smiling with his teeth, it's so subtle. So maybe he's just hiding these, and he's ready to show them off to the world in this movie. I'm gonna make a movie revolving around my teeth.
I mean,
they are his real teeth, dude.
I don't know.
I just found a publicity photo. It has nothing to do with any of the movies. I'm gonna send it to you right now.
Do it. Send it to me right now. Do it.
Him in the outfit from Snow Hollow.
This is from before the movie.
All right, I'm pulling it up.
Sweet.
Oh, dude, he has them.
Sweet.
Oh, they're real.
I will give him more props for making a werewolf movie, because then his teeth do work.
Dude, yes.
Oh, look at this one. This one's from Thunder Road.
Send it.
Look at this one. It's from Thunder. Oh, my God. There's a car. It's getting way too close to the there is a giant truck right outside the house. Oh my god.
Theo, are you okay? Theo, what?
Are you alright?
Are
you okay? Theo?
It's still rolling. It's like coming through into the house.
What do you mean? Is Shoshana in there? Oh, is he gone?
I think he's gone.
Oh my gosh. Okay, what would you rate the movie? What would you rate it?
I would rate it
that's what we're concerned about.
3.5. Yeah, I think it does. I would normally give it a 3, but I think it executes what it's trying to do well enough for me to A, want to watch it again and suggest it to others, which is usually an above average.
Go watch it.
I don't think it's a 4.
It's on anywhere
you can rent movies.
Yeah, just
anywhere
do
you can rent.
Just do it. Just watch it.
Watch
you
it.
You have no reason
not to. Please, like I want to support this guy. I want to see what his next work is going to be. I think it's really good. I got problems with it, but still, like, it's I've never made a movie before. I'm not trying to harp on anything. Like, this guy seems like a nice dude. He did a great Q&A, and
I enjoyed this.
I want to see what he does next. It seems like he can execute ideas well.
For the entire movie, up until like the climax where the werewolf is revealed that he's not a werewolf, I'm going to give it a 3.5. But that last chunk makes it a 4 for me.
Really?
There's an extra point.
Love that, yeah, you love that moment.
Oh, that moment was so good. But also the standing up thing, what Theo was saying, I liked that twist. I know it was kind of a hard left turn. Like, what? Showed me a few things, but
I think you have to, if you really want to earn something, you can, then it's good after you think about it. But in the moment, I remember thinking this probably is going to hurt my brain later, but I don't care. I really liked it.
Oh, I enjoyed it so much.
It was a nice little twist. It's a nice little movie.
I feel like he could have made a real werewolf thing, but it's better that he didn't.
No, he didn't. That's the point. He's a man who thinks he's a werewolf.
He cuts up women.
Yep.
And he does weird things with them.
Technically,
and he eats
he
them
does
and stuff.
What started werewolves in the first place. He is technically the original werewolf.
Anyway, 4 to 5. Poppy, what would you give it?
5 out of 5 because of the blood.
Yeah, I would think
the
so.
The blood.
Oh, yeah. Farted. Hardcore. So, yeah, we're probably going to be...
Oh, man, that reeks.
Okay, we're going to make this really, really tough smell.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, it's Perkins for you. Anyway. So, anyway, guys...
I'm really glad this is not smell-o-vision, and it's just...
I farted again.
Oh,
that's all I do is make smells and annoy Peter!
This is Poppy the Popcorn, social media manager for the Real Butter Buttercast. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr for more behind-the-scenes shenanigans. You can be a big-time Hollywood podcast producer for as little as 99 cents a month. Just go to our anchor.fm page and click the support button. And remember to subscribe, like, and review the Buttercast. 5 stars reviews only.
Poppy, what are you doing?
Oopsies.
Come on. We have to get back to the show, dude. Let's go.
Coming. 5 stars or else.
Poppy!
Hey, y'all, it's Shoshana, and this here is my best friend, Waylon. We're coming to you from the heart of the jungle. Don't be scared, Waylon, because we've got kombucha! We're here squishing up a special batch of my homemade Eye of the Tiger kombucha right between my toes. There's 4 billion itty-bitty organisms in every bottle. That's 4 billion little fellas just itching to wiggle their way into your body. Shh. Quiet now. Can you hear them? They're saying they love you. My Eye of the Tiger kombucha is gonna tighten up that gut, rosy up them cheeks, and keep you from passing out in the middle of Walmart. Here's a couple of happy folks to tell you all about it.
I used to have real bad acne,
My face was a mess. Children used to laugh and point. My friends called me Pizza Face. My mother as well, also the Pizza Face thing. One day, my girlfriend says, you should drink this. I said, no way, that's pond scum. She said, it's kombucha. I said, no way, I can see tadpoles in there. She said, I lost 15 pounds in 3 days drinking this. It will clear your skin right up. I said, let me at it. I gagged it down, passed out. Next day, my skin's clear. Day after that, I've got a deep tan. Day after that, my skin's glowing. In the dark. I can walk around in the dark. I don't need a flashlight. My girlfriend says, I'm worried. I don't think that's healthy. I said, I don't need you anymore. I've got amazing skin. Thanks to Shoshana and her cha-cha-cha kombucha.
I had real low energy. I used to live in the basement, in my parents' basement, and, you know, they say, get a job, and I'd say, I will, but I couldn't get up because I was playing video games. And so basically, I took it, and then my energy went up. I started working out again. I started feeling good. I got a new job. I got married. I bought a house. I bought a new convertible. And then, you know, everything was going really good, except the only problem, the only downside, really, that I could think of is that I want to fight all the time!
My wife is an award-winning gardener. Her tulips and orchids are enormous and brightly colored. One day I asked her, how do you get such results? She said, I use this amazing new thick drink that I bought from this strange man with a pushcart. It's called cha-cha-cha kombucha. I said, isn't kombucha for human consumption? She said, don't be ridiculous. This stuff looks disgusting. I said, no. Let me try that. I did. 2 weeks later, I felt 6 to 8 weeks younger. My hair began to regrow. I felt youthful, vibrant. My arthritis, which had been troubling me for quite some time, began to clear up. I noticed I was more flexible than I had ever been before. I was able to bend my arms forward and backward. In fact, I have no restrictions on my movement at all. I can move them in any direction, flop them around like a small octopus. I can wrap my arms around her like an octopus and pull her close, and she says, please, it's slightly disturbing, and I said, no, go with it. Now every time that strange man with the pushcart comes around, I buy at least 3 2-liter jugs from him. I feel like a new man. In fact, I don't even feel like a man. I feel like an octopus man with hair on his head. A full, thick, luscious head of hair on his head.
Some people have had changes in behavior, hostility, agitation, depressed mood, suicidal thoughts, or actions after drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha. Some people have had these symptoms when they first drank Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha, and others developed them after several weeks of consumption, or after they stopped drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha. If you, your family, or caregiver notice agitation, hostility, depression, or changes in behavior, thinking, or mood that are not typical for you, or you develop suicidal thoughts or actions, anxiety, bubble gut, panic, aggression, anger, mania, hot snake, abnormal sensations, hallucinations, paranoia, or confusion, stop drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha and call your doctor right away. Also tell your doctor about any history of depression or other mental health problems before drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha, as these symptoms may worsen while drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha. Some people have serious skin reactions while drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha, some of which can become life-threatening. These can include rash, swelling, redness, and peeling of the skin. Some people can have allergic reactions to Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha, some of which can be life-threatening and include swelling of the face, mouth, and throat. If you have these symptoms or have a rash of peeling skin or blisters in your mouth, stop drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha and get medical attention right away.
Call 1-800-SHOSHANA today. That's 1-800-SHSHNNA. Shishna. Today to start your kombucha journey. Just don't call me after 7 or before 9 a.m.
On the next, the real Butter Butter cast.
Cat. Right. Two dogs, a cat.
No cat.
I got it. Like werewolves. It's.
Yes.
You haven't watched it yet.
Oh my gosh.
God! He's really... Stop!
Farting.
Stop farting! It's not working!
Stop!